Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
Welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. I am here today with our special guest, Cole Raven, who is the co-founder at Podchaser. So this is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and I'm really excited to welcome Cole here because he is part of a podcast data startup that closed $500,000 in seed funding, and I'm actually a part of Podchaser. So when I got involved with that, I immediately said, oh my goodness, I need to have Cole on the show. In addition to Podchaser, he is also growing some real estate passive income with five Airbnbs, training for obstacle course races, and traveling the country full-time in an RV. So very exciting to have you here, Cole. Where are you in the country right now?
I am in Salem, Oregon. So we arrived here in Salem maybe 3 weeks ago from Texas, and we'll be here at least until maybe mid-July, where we're looking to go to Colorado.
Beautiful. Well, there's so much to talk about here with you, Cole. You are definitely what I would call a multidimensional man on purpose. It's you're just not doing one thing. You're doing a whole bunch of things and doing them beautifully. So let's start with the calling to serve the podcasting community. Can you talk a little bit about where that calling came from and, you know, why you got started with Podchaser? And then I'd love to dive in a little bit to the seed funding journey. That sounds really exciting and something that our listeners might really benefit from.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to share all that. We're a really transparent company, so I don't think anything's really off the table as far as questions about our funding goes. But the original concept of Podchaser really came from a lack of discoverability with podcasting, especially with independent podcasters trying to make a name for themselves and sharing their passion with people through particularly niche podcasts. So, for example, I listen to a lot of trail running podcasts, and in order to find podcasts within a niche today about things that you're really interested in, you have to just hope you stumble across the right blog or something gets shared with you on social media and you just happen to run across it. Even if you're like fervently searching for something within a particular niche, you might not come across this show that fits you and your personality and your purpose unless you just get lucky or the show happens to have, you know, a decent sized following. So discoverability is just tough in podcasting. So that's where the concept came from. And so we're building the social and data tools around podcasts to help people find podcasts that fit their personality and their purpose and things that they enjoy in life.
Beautiful. So tell me a little bit more about when this started and, you know, obviously the concept, it starts with the concept, but then, you know, you went into a process of, I don't know, collecting a team or putting together some kind of prospectus. Can you talk to us about the creation process that you went through in bringing Podchaser to life?
Sure. Yeah. So our team was formed actually on Reddit in an online community. So one of our co-founders had posted on a forum and said, hey, does anything like this exist in the podcasting world? Can you like see the top rated episodes of a podcast? Which sounds like a really simple thing, but you just can't today. There's nowhere to do anything like that. There's no discovery tools that exist around particular podcasts. So he posted in this online community. He's actually been a good friend of mine since we were in the sixth grade. And there were a few people who responded to his post and said, no, this doesn't exist, but you should build it. And we think that we have the skills to work with you to help you build it. So two of those people, and there were a lot of people like that who reached out, but two of those people ended up being our other two co-founders, Ben and Ryan, who live in Melbourne, Australia. And so we went through actually about an entire year of just building the concept and brainstorming ideas and figuring out what the product could look like. And we all had full-time jobs at the time. So I was a sales manager at a startup. Bradley, who had originally posted on that forum, was also in sales, doing industrial sales. And then Ben and Ryan had their own full-time jobs in Australia doing design and engineering. And so we went through about a year of just conceptual stuff and then maybe 6 to 12 months of just entirely bootstrapping the thing, putting our own time, money, and resources behind building a proof of concept to see if this is something that the community, we know the community told us they wanted this. They want something that's like an IMDb, but for podcasts. They wanted a better way to discover podcasts that didn't exist, but we still didn't know if there was any, you know, revenue potential behind the idea or if it was a good business concept. And so we launched the kind of alpha version of the website. And within the first few weeks, we went from zero to about 6,000 people registered on the website before the website even went up. And so that's when we kind of realized, hey, this thing has legs. We should really take this to the next level. We could spend the next, you know, decade bootstrapping this and working full-time jobs and working weekends and working ourselves to the bone, or we could see what other options are out there as far as trying to pursue this full-time. And so we went through about 6 to 8 months of just very proactively reaching out to investors and saying, hey, do you have any media? This was mostly angel investors at the time. So asking if they had any media interest, if they knew anything about podcasting, if they wanted to get into the space. And after a lot of rejection, we made some great relationships with some of our early investors that introduced us to some of their friends and some other people who were interested in to invest. And over the course of, like I said, 6 to 8 months, about the end of the 8 months, we had raised about $500,000. So that puts us at May of 2018. So it's been almost a year this month since we first raised those funds. And so now we're actually going through a second round of funding, raising $2 million to continue growing the business and to scale and monetize. So beautiful. That's where we are today.
Beautiful. So you're not yet at monetization. Is that what I'm hearing?
You know, we do have a few small sources of income. So we're kind of in the proof of concept phase and choosing which path to pursue. So if you look at a website like IMDb, which has, you know, tons of movie ratings and statistics and a very, very active community, they get a lot of their revenue from advertising. That's becoming less and less interesting as a primary source of revenue to investors today. Just relying on website traffic to equal money, just because online advertising is just more fickle than it ever has been. It's harder to get into than it was whenever IMDb was first realized, kind of in the late 90s, early 2000s, and grew from there. Another big chunk of their revenue and something that we're pursuing is what they call IMDb Pro and what will be Podchaser Pro or whatever we choose to call it, which will just be more of a SaaS-based subscription model that's reliable revenue that will allow podcasters to promote their own content, but then also unlock some new data and tools and resources that will help them grow their show as part of a subscription model. And so that's part of why we're raising some more money is to build that, because we've kind of built the foundation of what the website is today with that first round of funding. And we've grown significantly from that first set of 6,000 users. And yeah, we're ready to take it to the next level and make some money from it.
Beautiful. So what role, I mean, you obviously you're a co-founder, but what role do you play within the organization? Are you CEO or?
So we get asked that question a lot. and it's really, that's really tough at our stage. So Bradley is the CEO of the company, and it was originally his idea. He brought the team together, founded the company, and then brought the rest of the team in. I prefer to always just keep the label of co-founder because I do so, so many different things. You know, I do a lot of marketing and growth. I do a lot of product development. I do a lot of strategic relationships with our key partners and affiliate partners and potential advertisers. So I think I'm just probably going to stick with co-founder for a little while.
That's so beautiful. Today you're the voice of Podchaser on the Men on Purpose podcast. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, I want to just talk to you a little bit about, you know, are you and your co-founders still working full-time jobs, or have you, you know, kind of parted with the full-time job and you're really devoting yourself wholeheartedly and committed to this? Can you talk a little bit about that? And can you talk even deeper about the courage that it takes to either be balancing two things at once or wholeheartedly committing to a vision, depending on what your answer is there.
Yeah, sure. So we actually just last week, Bradley quit his full-time job. So he was the last person on the team to do so. I had left my job a year ago about today. So, and the rest of our team has been full-time for the last 6 to 12 months. So it's been a while since most of us have been full-time on this. And that was really the intention in the beginning when we first started seeking funds, was we needed to dedicate our full-time attention to this or it wouldn't grow. We wouldn't be able to nurture it to be where it is today. Mm-hmm. As far as having the courage to do this goes, I would say it took more courage to keep my job for as long as I did.
Ooh, so talk about that.
It was not, I don't think, courageous to leave my job. And what I mean by that is I think that a lot of people would define leaving a full-time job and security of that as courageous. And you know, I did have people come up to me and it's like, wow, you're so brave. You left your full-time job to pursue this thing that's uncertain. And I'm like, you know, I guess, but I had been, since leaving college, I'd started multiple businesses that started and failed and started and failed. And I know how this goes. You know, chances are, you know, I really hope Podchaser succeeds. It's the furthest in success that I've gone so far with any business, but there's a good chance it's going to fail, just like many, many startups out there. And I have had that mindset since being in college and going out of college with these other startups that I did not want to be in a 9-to-5 desk job working for somebody else. I'd always, you know, had that passion for travel and independence and building my own thing. So whenever the time came to pursue that, I actually had to hang on to that full-time job longer than I would have hoped to before allowing myself to quit, because we had raised a little bit of money even before I quit my job. And it's like, well, you know, we have $200,000 in the bank. I could have a job for the next year with just this money. And worst case, after a year, I go find another job. But I was like, you know, we really should, for the benefit of the team, wait until we've, you know, filled out the round and then I'll leave my job. And so I really personally wouldn't define it as something courageous if it's something that I was mentally preparing for up until that point and ready to do the second the team was ready for it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome. I really appreciate your clarity around that and your transparency around, you know, your own knowing that you're not here to be a 9-to-5 guy. You're here to be somebody who is participating in creating things, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Well, we're going to take a short break, but when we get back, we will talk a little bit more about Podchaser and also about some of the ways that you're hedging yourself, because, you know, obviously you are doing that if you've got some passive income coming in and things like that. So I'd love to talk about that when we come back from the break. So we will be right back in just a few moments. But right now, I want to thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world, and I want to shout out this week to our listeners in, let's see, let's shout out this week to our listeners in Argentina, Vietnam, and Denmark. Shout out to our listeners in those three countries. We are now up to 75 countries where we're being downloaded all over the world. Very exciting. And we'll be right back with Cole Raven from Podchaser.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Cole Raven. He is the co-founder of Podchaser, and you can find out more about Podchaser and about Cole as well at podchaser.com. Just go there and check out what they've got going on. If you are a podcaster, you definitely want to list yourself in there. And you also want to, if you are a listener, that is the place to go where you can discover some really amazing podcasts, including the Men on Purpose podcast. So thank you so much for participating with Cole and his team in bringing Podchaser to even more people and help us to spread the word for him too. So Cole, let's talk about all the other fun stuff you got going on, because not only have you really wholeheartedly devoted yourself to Podchaser, but it sounds like you have been creative enough and courageous enough to say to yourself, there are other ways for income to come in. So talk about, you know, your mindset around that and where your Airbnbs are and what your kind of plan of attack is for additional passive income for yourself.
Sure. Yeah. So my purpose going into starting the Airbnbs that I have today. So back in 2016, I moved from Evansville, Indiana, where I grew up. I was actually managing a trampoline park where I managed just over 100 part-time employees and some managers at a Sky Zone trampoline park. Mm-hmm. And the owners were opening up a new park in Florida. And so I took that opportunity to go help open up that second park. And it was very, very long hours, a lot of hard work. It was a really wonderful experience and a lot of fun. But at the time, I knew that I was interested in real estate and in generating some sort of passive income, because I didn't want to completely rely on that full-time paycheck. If anything happened, I wanted to be able to, if any opportunities came up, I wanted to be able to pursue that. If anything bad happened, I wanted to have something that, like you mentioned, just hedges myself against, you know, anything that could happen. So for about a year before I moved to Florida, I actually was renting a place and was renting out my spare bedroom on Airbnb just as a way to generate, you know, some extra money and pay off some student loan debt that I had still had from college. And I met a ton of interesting people. I actually had more international guests than people from the United States. There was a guest from Peru and Germany and a couple that came and stayed with me from China. And so it was really a fascinating experience to learn from all those people visiting Evansville, Indiana, of all places. So when I moved to Florida, I knew that I wanted to keep doing that. I knew that it was a lucrative opportunity. And so I bought a house that had some extra bedrooms when I moved down to Florida. And it was a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house. And I was just me at the time, not married, single, dating somebody, but living by myself. So I continued doing that. As I was working the full-time job, I was renting out the spare bedrooms and realized that just from the money that was coming in from renting out those spare bedrooms, that I didn't even really need my full-time job to do things like pay my bills and eat. And I knew that, like I mentioned earlier, that working the day job just wasn't for me. I had other passions that I wanted to pursue in real estate and online business. And so I bought the house, I bought a car, and I quit my job for the first time. And I had that place in Florida, and I just told myself that I would continue renting out the place on Airbnb and pursuing. I got my real estate license to see if I could do that. I had just a couple different opportunities that I was pursuing, and I told myself I would do that for as long as I could until the right opportunity came along, and I gave myself time for that. And about 6 months later, I had the opportunity to move back up to Indiana to work for a startup that had just raised about $3 million, and I would have been I was one of the first employees to join that company. So I kept the place in Florida. It didn't make any sense to buy it and then immediately sell it. And I knew the housing market was going up and that I could, you know, pay the bills just from renting it out. So from afar, I just continued to rent it. I hired somebody to help me manage it down there and moved up to Indianapolis. And then it's something that, if people are interested in getting into real estate or Airbnb or anything like that, you could probably do more than you think you can do pretty quickly. Soon after moving to Indianapolis, I then got married, and my wife and I bought a 4-unit building downtown, lived in one of them, rented out the rest of them. And from there, we've kind of arrived where we are today. So we have those 5 different Airbnb units, and we continue renting them out. And worst case scenario, this is also something that allowed me to have, I guess, the quote, courage to leave my job, is that even if something happens, we have these 5 Airbnb units that are generating, you know, income to help us survive along with our, you know, we live in an RV, so our monthly bills are pretty low. So
Well, so that's awesome too. I do want to talk a little bit about the courage. I guess we'll call it courage again. I don't know whether there's any other word for it to just be like, you've got a whole business running, you've got two multiple businesses running, and you're kind of traveling all over the country. I do want to speak briefly about Airbnb. Airbnb has been very, very good to me. I love Airbnb. I had my own house. I rented out the entire house at one point. I set myself up in a little cocoon in my basement. I had the whole house rented. I had my mortgage paid. It was great. I love Airbnb. And when I sold my house, I went and moved to another location, immediately put the spare room on Airbnb. And I'm in a third location and I've got the whole place on Airbnb here too. So it's an amazing thing. Very grateful for the technology angels who figured that one out. I do want to talk to you though about this running all over the countryside. So tell us a little bit about your adventure of being in an RV. When did that start and where have you been and how long do you think you're going to be on the road?
All great questions. And I don't even know if I have a great answer for all of them. We started traveling very soon after I left my job last May because we realized that if we're going to do anything like this, my wife's a physical therapist. So she has a really great opportunity in physical therapy to do travel physical therapy, just like there's travel nurses and travel, you know, medical professionals and all sorts of professions. She's a travel physical therapist. There's a lot of demand for it. So we realized that since I don't have to be any certain place and she can do this travel thing, that if the business that we're starting were to fail in a year, we would look back and regret not taking the opportunity to travel, especially since we don't really know where we want to settle, if we want to settle somewhere, where we would be in the country. So we're kind of using it as an opportunity to explore different cities and parts of the country that we might eventually want to have a kid and buy a house and do that whole thing.
Beautiful. I do want to ask, like, what would you like to share with our listeners? Let's get back to Podchaser. What would you like to share with our listeners about Podchaser? What, you know, what's the invitation that you'd like to make to our listeners about Podchaser?
Yeah, sure. So right now, there's a lot of podcasts out there that ask you, and I believe you do this too, to go rate and review the show. And that really helps shows grow and helps more people discover it. And I think it's a really great thing. And people who do go spend the time to rate and review, grateful for people like you because not everybody does it. Small percentage of listeners. But outside of Apple, there's really no great place to rate and review a show. So the first thing I would say is go rate and review this episode of the Men on Purpose podcast. That really does help more people discover the show. And you can rate it on Podchaser. So we're the only place that has individual ratings for episodes. So if you want to help the shows that you listen to grow a bigger audience, you think that they deserve a bigger audience like this show, then go leave it a review. So that's the first thing. The second thing is we... at the time of this recording today, we're releasing user profiles. So what that is it's a profile page of your podcast personality. And everybody has a different podcast personality, listens to a different set of podcasts. You have different subscriptions. But this is an opportunity for you to build a profile page of yourself that has a collection of all of your ratings and reviews for everything that you've reviewed. Your friends can follow you. So if you rate and review something, it'll show up in your friend's feed. And you can build a top eight of your eight favorite podcasts. So if you go to podchaser.com, make an account, build a top eight, and share your profile on Twitter, Facebook, wherever, it'll show the podcast artwork for all eight of your favorite shows. So I know there's a lot of people who, if you're a podcast listener and talk with other people about podcasts, the first question is, oh, what do you listen to? And this is a really great way to share that content. So that's the first thing I would do. And then from there, you'll discover all sorts of other stuff on Podchaser, but definitely go build a profile of your top favorite shows and rate this show.
Yes. And put Men on Purpose podcast right at the top. Awesome. Well, I do want to talk about one other thing, and that is your obstacle course racing. And I want to actually tie it in with self-care as a co-founder, as somebody who's an entrepreneur, as somebody who has lots of things going on simultaneously, as somebody who's like not even got a permanent location right now. Talk to us about your own self-care routine and the things that you do to stay healthy and strong and clear in your vision and committed to, you know, your path.
Sure. Yeah. So, and this is something that my wife taught me. So she was a Division I soccer player, captain of her team, really accomplished athlete. And so I've always been inspired by athletes and their dedication and commitment to do hard work day in and day out, because it requires a lot of that. So something that my wife believes and something that I've learned from her is that you are what you do every single day. And when I say every single day, it's really got to be every single day without exception. So something that is a part of that for me is running and trail running and exercise. So when I wake up in the morning, one of my first thoughts is, where am I going to go run today? What am I going to explore? How am I going to keep my body fit? And then I'm a big fan of food, so I always wonder what I'm going to eat that day. But something that my wife and I have done over the last, actually for Lent, was we completely gave up meat and dairy just to experiment to see if it's something that we could do, because I knew that a plant-based diet was something that's super healthy. Went through that, felt great. So it's just, I think, building up a habit of being committed to things like this every single day will help you become that person. I don't think that you can be inspired or motivated by some Instagram post and go out. And I see people do this all the time. You say that you want to, you know, be a runner, be fit, or eat healthy. And so you go make a salad and go on a 5-hour run and kill yourself. And then it's impossible to do the same thing the next day because you've overextended yourself. So I think it's, in order to do anything like that, it's a series of small baby steps that accumulate and help you become that person that you want to be, whether it's in health or business or fitness. Mm-hmm. The whole point is that, you know, you are what you do every single day. And if you make commitments like that, it's important to just even take, you know, a 5-minute baby step toward it. So if you want to be better in health and fitness, then take 5 minutes to go on a walk. As long as you're doing something every single day and taking a step toward that, then you're still honoring that commitment. Yeah. And it's going to just have compounding effects over time.
Yeah, beautiful. So the two things that came in there, I always use C words here. The two things that came there were consistency and commitment. And really, it's about being trustworthy to yourself. Well, Cole, you have been an amazing interview, and I'm really excited that you were here today. We are at the end, though, so I want to just say thank you. And listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show, or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on Apple Podcasts and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.